here in the studio lounge at Trellis's Immersion 19 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mr. Jim Nussel, how are you, sir?
You know, we're here on the beach, of all places, talking credit unions.
That's not bad. It's a good recipe.
Not bad. I wish I could maybe enjoy the beach, though.
Me too.
I'm talking too much. I'm meeting with too many people. You can't just do that and be out at the beach at the same time.
Yeah, well, one of these days we'll have a conference on the beach.
Right?
That'd be kind of fun. I don't know if anybody would be listening to anything. But
nobody would be listening.
Jumping into the water. Hey, I want to cut to it because I know you have you're short on time. You just gave a talk up there giving kind of an overview of the Open Your Eyes, some of the threats that are occurring to credit unions, some challenges, and I just want you to address, give a quick overview, and then we'll go into a couple of details where you have to
go. My concern as I see the lay of the land right now is that credit unions are facing three, what I think are existential threats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a threat to our model, that if we lose our model, tax exemption as an example, it will be the end of credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
The second is we've got to protect and enhance our marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
We do that certainly individually, but we can and should do it collectively as well, because again, our market could disappear as it has for small community banks very quickly if we don't tend to it. And third, we've got to tend to our foundations, to what makes credit unions special and different and unique. And one of them is just having a conference like this where people come together and they say, you know, we've got a challenge, whether it's in payments or data analytics or whatever it might be, and let's see if we can't work together to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's building a company. Sometimes that's partnering with another credit union or leader.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's saying to your association, hey, get busy. But whatever it is, I think those are the three big threats, but they also pose opportunities.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you brought up co-opetition, because a lot of, as we all know, a lot of cranes are competing against each other with the community charters and things like that, kind of overlapping. I want to get your take on that, and because you said there's lots of blue ocean out there.
Total
blue
ocean.
Have, what, 7% of the market share?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that stat was really telling, as especially with the small banks, how they've, like you said, they've had their lunch eaten by the bigger banks.
They really have.
So, but getting back to the credit unions, it's really unnecessary for us to compete with each other because, like you said, there's lots of blue ocean out there to be had.
Well, and that's the point, is that, you know, if even on a good day when we're bragging, let's say it's 10% of the market,
got
90% out there that we could be going after that we know are not as well served at their big bank, coffee shop, whatever the heck it's called today,
Capital One thing,
right? then they could be at a credit union. Now, it's not for everybody. There are some that just want to, you know, transact and go through life, and they don't maybe feel like they need a credit union. Fine, they're not for us, but let's just go after 10 more percent.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't handle that volume right now if we just got 10 more percent.
Right.
So going after that, telling our story to a whole new generation of consumers is what I think our motivation, our strategy should be, rather than to look down the street and say, hey, I'm going to go pick off some members at that other credit union. It makes no sense.
I agree. Yeah.
So I'm challenging credit unions to stop this co-opetition and work together to solve problems and go to market together.
Yeah, that was part of your heart attack segment, and then you talked about the market attack, and let's see here. Oh,
and the model attack.
And the model attack. Yeah, you want to talk about the model attack a little bit, because you talked about four pillars of a 360 degree advocacy plan here. Do you want to?
Well, part of it is, you know, ensuring that the model actually expands so we can serve members today, but also members of the future.
Mm-hmm.
But the other is that our model's under attack, and we've seen it in Iowa the last couple of years.
Right, right.
We saw it in Kentucky. We saw it in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean, we're hearing about other states that are starting to get queued up.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, Illinois, the Dakotas again, Minnesota. I mean, so there's a number of that are hearing about it and are saying, maybe we ought to start looking at this from a bank standpoint to lash out at somebody as opposed to looking within to say, what are we doing wrong? So we've got to protect that model and at the same time enhance that charter for the future, both at the state and federal level.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, because isn't this kind of a switch in the bank strategy, is from going to the federal level now to the state level? Let's see if we can pick one off.
And Mike, as you know, because you come out and you're savvy about this, you know that the dysfunction in Washington has caused everybody to relook at their strategy. How should we get our legislative agenda across? And for banks, they decided instead of going to Washington, they're going to go state by state by state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they've taken that approach. We are too. Certainly, we've enhanced our charter and at the state level in a number of great instances, but we also have to enhance our defense there too, if that's what the banks are going to be able to do.
Right, exactly. And another thing, before you head off, I want to applaud you for bringing up the physical and mental health of finance, how they come together and what Gigi Hyland at the foundation is doing. I think this tremendous, tremendous work that's just kind of under the radar right now that really needs to percolate to the surface.
I agree. It's such a hidden thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people don't talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. And we just have to. I'm not suggesting that we've got to jump in and be doctors. We're not. But we need to realize that what we're doing is bigger than just balancing your checkbook or getting out of credit card debt.
Yep.
I mean, it's affecting their family. It's affecting their well-being in a way that. I think maybe we intuitively knew it, but now we have the data and the science behind it to say, those are dots that are connected now. What happens in your financial life actually does affect your physical and mental life as well.
Yeah, they're totally integrated for sure. And again, I think credit unions are, like you said, they're poised to really kind of be the tip of the spear in this area.
Well,
so it's really cool.
We talk a lot about at these conferences that, you know, we've got to catch up to those frictionless services. Yes. We can do better. Mm-hmm. We can get faster. Mm-hmm. Online, apps, all of those things. But there's good friction, too. Mm-hmm. There's friction that stops and says, how you doing?
Yeah.
What do we need to do to help make sure you're okay, your family's okay? Mm-hmm. You're not just going to survive this transaction, but survive the year. Or you know, that's a bigger... And I'm sorry, that takes a little friction.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think people are thirst... Not all... But we don't need them all.
Right.
Just how can we help serve those that where that friction stopping and taking that moment actually might save a life. Who knows?
Oh my gosh!
Right?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
You never know where that might actually save a life or help somebody in a way that maybe financial services has never thought of before.
I agree. Yeah, and I think credit unions can be poised to take that baton and run with it. Talk about a personal finance management tool taken to the next level.
Yeah,
so PFM taken to the next level. Before you go, any results on the Open Your Eyes? Because you had a slide up there that had a few of the results of that. I don't expect you to memorize this stuff, but
well, no, the early results are in, and we've already reached over 30 million consumers, and that's just in four states, and most of those states have just recently launched. So I don't want anyone out there listening to say, "Wow, it's either going gangbusters or oh my gosh, they're trying to convince us that it's already working." The data is still very young.
Yeah.
We need to you know, get this out and really check it, make sure it's going right. But my point, I guess, in just sharing some of the early data is that we do think it's better than our expectations. Mm-hmm. It's connecting in a way. And here's the stat I didn't say. It's because all of us have that button you can push that says skip ad.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
when
they
see the credit union ad digitally, already of that 30 million, 8 million, I think is the number, have watched the ad all the way through to the end.
Oh, wow.
So instead of skipping the ad on their phone,
they're watching it.
They say, if something's grabbing them, and they're watching the video all the way to the end. That's unique, because I know I skip just about every ad.
Same boat.
Right?
Same boat.
I don't care what the ad is. But for some reason, it seems to actually be working and opening consumers' eyes to credit unions.
Maybe people are looking for answers out there. Very cool stuff. All right, Jim, I'll let you get going. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, Mike.
Always appreciate a pleasure having you here in the studio lounge, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Jim Nussle, everybody.